Welcome to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam, the short-handed Chicago Bulls, who fought and gutted out an impressive opening round series victory against the Brooklyn Nets, have come out and taken game one against the Miami Heat. Adam, your reaction to the Bulls' impressive win against King James and company on the road?
Well, it was an amazing win because, first of all, you have basically three of your five best players, or three of your seven best players out. That is Derrick Rose, that is Luol Deng, and that is Kirk Heinrich. And then you're seeing Marco Bellinelli hit huge shots for you. You're seeing Nate Robinson take over games in the fourth quarter. I think he put up 11 points and 6 assists in that fourth quarter by himself. It's amazing when a guy who, you know, can take over games does it against the best team in the league. And that's amazing that Nate can do that in the absence of Rose, dominating the basketball and really leading that offense because the defense is so strong and allows the Bulls to be in that game. Tom Thibodeau, of course, is the man behind this machine, this amazing Bulls machine that we don't know how they keep doing it, but Tom Thibodeau is taking these guys further than anyone ever thought they would go.
Tom Thibodeau, the defensive guru, has taken this Bulls team so much further than, honestly, a fair amount of coaches in the NBA would have been able to do. There's some coaches who wouldn't have been able to get this depleted Bulls roster into the playoffs. Thibodeau, on the other hand, has them looking to upset the Heat. Now, Game 1 certainly had more of a Philadelphia Sixers beating the Lakers and, you know, the opening game of the finals feel to it than it does an actual upset. But the belief is there, and it's certainly strong within the locker room. What does Chicago have to keep doing to win this series?
Well, of course they need to hit big shots because these games are not going to be blowouts in favor of the Bulls. They're lucky to score 90 points in these games. They're not going to be scoring triple digits. They're going to need to hit those big shots. Marco Bellinelli is going to have to be a big part of this series, in addition to Nate Robinson. They're going to need Kirk Heinrich back to play some defense. And I think that's really what it comes down to. Defense is huge for this team. They're arguably one of the best teams in the league when it comes to defense. And when you're surprised that they're able to step it up to another level, because now it looks like this Bulls team understands the regular season versus the postseason. Maybe that's what it is. And Joakim Noah, the leader of this defense, keeping everything strong on the interior, not allowing the Heat to get easy buckets. You even saw LeBron airball a floater near the end of the game because of all the pressure the Bulls were putting on them. And Tom Thibodeau now has an amazing record against LeBron in his career. He's over 500, 27-21 record against LeBron-led teams in his career. It's amazing that he's able to do that. I think it's because it starts with defense.
Yeah, the Heat, 41-3 in their last 44. Two of those losses to Tom Thibodeau and the Bulls. Of course, we remember the one that ended Miami's win streak when they were trying to catch the Lakers. I look at this Bulls team, and one of my concerns is that they're kind of by force running Jimmy Butler into the ground as well. And he's going to have to expend a lot of energy guarding LeBron James. Yesterday he had 21 points and was a significant part of the offense. He's a piece that is a replacement piece for Luol Deng, and you can't afford to let him wear down and just hit a wall in the midst of this series.
The worst part about this Jimmy Butler situation, he's now played three consecutive games, full games, has not sat at all. Can you believe that this guy, who didn't, no one even thought he'd be an impact player in the playoffs, he is now playing every single minute for this Bulls squad in Game 6 against the Nets, in Game 7 against the Nets, and now Game 1 against the Miami Heat. It's amazing what he's doing in place of one of the strongest offensive players in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, Luol Deng. He is quietly one of the strongest players and is a huge part of this Bulls team. And with his injury problems still bugging him, we really don't know what we can see from this Bulls team. It's just amazing that their defense is able to keep this Heat team under, you know, a crazy amount of points. And it was actually the second worst home loss for the Heat since LeBron came to town as far as home playoff losses. So it's amazing that the Bulls were able to do that.
Yeah, the small forward out of Marquette certainly had a large hand in the upset. Another guy who had a little guy who had a big say in the Bulls' victory is Nate Robinson, who's had a spectacular playoff run so far. Adam, the truth about Nate Robinson, as we all know, is that he can win you a game, he can lose you a game just as easily. Do you see that happening? You know, he's been so spectacular throughout the postseason. Do you see him losing a game for Chicago, or just, you know, where he's taking the same amount of shots, but they're not going in? Do you see that happening?
Well, it's tough to say he's going to lose them a game, because when they're relying on him so much, it's tough to say lose them a game in this instance. If Derrick Rose was playing and they had a full team and they were expected to win, then you could say he might lose them a game. But I don't even know if I can say that he can lose a game. If anything, he's one of the key cogs now, as opposed to being one of the X factors. He's not a guy who's going to come off the bench. He now needs to start and put up amazing amount of points for them. So they're actually relying upon him. I just don't know if we can call him losing a game unless they have the full squad.
The Knicks run heavy isolation with Carmelo Anthony. The Bulls hand the ball to Nate Robinson. And so far, it's working out. You got to love it. One of the things that was certainly unexpected about this postseason is Nate Robinson carrying the Bulls thus far. Now, looking at the Miami Heat, one of the things that concerns me is Chicago's size. You know, Chris Bosh only had 9 points yesterday. And on top of that, just 6 rebounds. Chicago has the size to intimidate the Heat down low, and the defensive prowess in the likes of Joakim Noah, stay with and contain Chris Bosh.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation for this Heat team, because they really just don't have the defense that the Bulls do. And the Bulls are able to continue to pound you and force you to shoot outside jumpers because of the size in the middle. Boozer's actually stepping up now as well. And of course they have Taj Gibson coming off the bench and being able to spell Boozer. And they actually play the same amount of minutes in game one. And I think, of course, Joakim Noah is so important to that team. His injury problem was such a big part of them going 7 games in the previous round. Now that he might be fully healthy or close to fully healthy, this Bulls team has a shot. I still won't be picking the Bulls to win the series, but they can play some pretty solid basketball, win the rebound battle, and if they can make it to the free throw line like they did in the first game, they actually outshot the Heat from the free throw line, and it just has to be a lot of things going their way in order to win games. They also held the Bulls, the Heat, to a terrible three-point shooting game. It just comes down to a lot of things that they dominated, and it's just going to be, they're going to have to hope to do that in future games, and they may have a chance at it. I just don't think it's going to happen 4 out of 7 times.
Exactly. I do not see, Chicago being able to maintain home court advantage now that they have it. You know, Shane Battier missed a couple big threes. It really wasn't falling for most of the Heat players throughout the night. One guy that I'd like to see get some run, who got a DNP CD, that's coach's decision, is Rashard Lewis. I think that's one of those matchups where, yeah, it's going to hurt Miami defensively, having a matchup with Carlos Boozer. But I would like to spread the floor, get one of those Chicago big men out of there, and let things be easier for LeBron and Dwayne Wade when they attack the basket.
That's a very interesting situation there, because, you know, of course, Spoelstra wants to make that rotation short. He doesn't want to have anything happening to the main stars and to the main guys, even Ray Allen, who's going to be playing a good amount of minutes, and they want enough out of them. You know, he's only played in 3 games this playoffs for Charlotte. He's only played 14 minutes, attempted 6 shots. You know, this guy is as rusty as you can get him. So it's going to be a daring move if Spoelstra does go to Lewis, but they may want to change something up going into the next game to at least give the Bulls a different look, because that's what you really want to do. You want to put Tibbs on his heels. You won't want him to know what the Heat's plan is, which it seems like he knows what's going on. And I think that's a big part of Thibodeau being so successful against LeBron-led teams. And I think, really, it's amazing what they're doing, but it's going to come down to health for this Bulls team. The Bulls are lucky to be standing on 2 feet right now as far as most of the guys on the floor. You know, with already all the injuries that they have, we don't even know if Heinrich or Deng will be back. So it really depends on the health for this Bulls team. So, Bobby, what do you think about this series? What do you see the outlook of this series happening?
Well, speaking of health, Bulls fans are clamoring for Derrick Rose to get out of a suit and onto the court. I don't see that happening, and as a result, I don't see the Bulls maintaining home court advantage or beating Miami in this series. I think the Heat take this thing in 6 games, winning on Chicago's home court.
Wow. Wow. Very interesting. And I'll go with the Heat in seven, winning at home after the Bulls are able to force it to a game seven. Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We'll now be discussing the Western Conference series between the San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. They put on a fantastic show on Monday night on TNT. The Warriors led for most of the game and even by double digits for a good amount of it. And then the Spurs had a furious fourth quarter comeback, outscoring the Warriors by 12 points in the fourth quarter, and then giving their home crowd a fantastic show in the overtimes, the two overtimes, and Ginobili with that fantastic overtime sealer to win the game to give the Spurs the 1-0 lead in the series. So, Bobby, what do you think about this series?
What a game one. What a start to what's going to be such an entertaining series. I hope they're all like this. Now, I got to come clean here. As much as I love Stephen Curry, I thought with the length of some of San Antonio's defenders, Danny Green, they'll throw Kawhi Leonard at him at times, that I thought the Spurs would have an easier time defending him than Denver did, who largely kept Ty Lawson on him because of Lawson's speed. Curry goes for 44 points and makes me look bad, to put it politely. You know, he made me look horrible with that one, in San Antonio, no less. The Warriors, Mark Jackson, the preacher man, has this team believing. They, you know, David Lee went down against Denver, and so many people counted them out of that series, but they went small, and they found ability to exploit Denver, who also had so much troubles on offense, especially without Gallinari in the mix. And now they go into San Antonio up by 14 with roughly 8 minutes left in the game. You know, give San Antonio, Gregg Popovich, all the credit in the world, but this Golden State team, they believe that they not only can hang with the Spurs, but they can beat them. Case in point, Kent Bazemore plays 2 minutes and hits a huge layup, you know, in a critical situation for Golden State. So this team believes they can win, and kudos to them. I am just looking forward to what's going to be a spectacular series.
It's amazing that this three-headed monster in Jarrett Jack, in Stephen Curry, in Klay Thompson has carried the show, has been amazing for this Golden State Warriors team. It's a very interesting situation, though, that Klay Thompson did end up fouling out in Game 1. That really hurt the team because, you know, he is really their second-best shooter. And he's one of the best shooters in the NBA. And that really hurt them, and that was one of the reasons why they couldn't really carry on into the finish. And I think that really ended up affecting them a lot. But this Warriors team has really stepped up without Lee, just as you said, Bobby. You know, we had the luxury of taping our podcast before the series had begun. And that really gave me the indication that the Warriors were going to upset the Nuggets. Luckily, they ended up doing that and made me look fantastic. But the problem was is that I thought since Lee went down, they had no chance. So now I'm going to flip-flop back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and now going to think that the Warriors have a shot and then go with the Spurs as my pick. So a great look at this entire series. It's a very interesting series, but that three-headed monster in the backcourt needs to be firing on all cylinders in order for the Warriors to have a chance in this series. Not even win it, just have a chance.
Exactly. Klay Thompson, as vital as he was, didn't even make a three-pointer, so he's got to contribute to, you know, the trio of him, Curry, and Barnes. And then you look at it for San Antonio, the second leading scorer in the game, not on the Spurs, in the game, Danny Green, 22 points, went 6 of 9 from 3. Now, I understand that's going to happen when a team is making a huge comeback like the Spurs did late in the fourth quarter. But, you know, how many times is that going to happen for San Antonio, that Danny Green is having a huge scoring night like that? Not too many. He'll hit some big threes for them, no doubt. But it took that type of effort from a role player to get them a win in Game 1 against an injured Golden State team at home. So, you know, you can definitely take a little bit, whereas there was a lot of positives that came out of Golden State's loss to Denver in Game 1 of the opening round. There's a lot of positives to come out of that performance in San Antonio. Now, there's a little more of that was the game we needed to win between, you know, the first two games on the road and getting home court back. But still, a lot of good things that a very confident Golden State team, as I reiterated earlier, can take from last night's loss.
What's unfortunate about that Golden State loss in the first game was that they shot so poorly from the free throw line. They were the fourth best team from the line during the regular season and then pull up that stinker from the free throw stripe in game one. If they make a few more free throws, that furious comeback from San Antonio might not have happened. And I think that's really where you have to look at it, and maybe you can place a little blame in addition to Klay Thompson fouling out. So really this team, you know, Popovich knows he's going to foul Bogut, and that's a smart idea. It's a great idea to do that against one of the worst free throw shooters in the league. It's nice to do that. It allows them 2-for-6 from the line game one. So really, if this Warriors team is going to have to do well, they're going to have to shoot well from basically every single area on the floor, including three-pointers, including free throws, including at the hoop. Because this Spurs team, of course, they're good at defense, but this Warriors team, who has a fantastic offense, should be able to do a little better. And I think they can do that going forward. They just can't do terribly. You know, Curry didn't hit a shot, didn't hit a jump shot in the fourth quarter or any of the overtimes. He's going to need to change that for the next game. Well, that was another fantastic episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. You can always interact with the show by tweeting at Bobby or me on Twitter. You can also use the hashtag STWBA and find me at Twitter at StatsAdam. Bobby, where can they find you?
You can find me at Bobby_K91. I look forward to hearing your questions, your comments about the show. And as always, have a fantastic week.